great things happening in this church, and nothing is more important than the very thing that we're going to talk about in today's lesson, and that is Mission Sunday. Mission Sunday was designed to increase and enhance our mission work. So let's get to that lesson. Philippians chapter 4 and or chapter 3 and verse 14 is the theme for our entire year. I can do all things through Christ. And so every month this year, we're emphasizing with God we can. The whole emphasis this month is with God we can evangelize the world. Next month we'll talk about with God we can find a place for serve God, find a place in the church. And we'll be talking about that next month. But this is the focus this month, and that is the lost world that is there. Let me introduce the sermon by telling a thing that did not happen, but it illustrates the whole point that we're trying to make. In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus says, "All authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth." You hear the power of that? You need to do this because God says it, the Lord says it, and every bit of authority there is. Think about our subjection to authority. Subjection to policemen, subjection to civil authority, subjection to an employer, subjection to teachers in school. Here's one authority, all authority. And here's the commandment from all authority. Therefore, because I have all authority, therefore go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You and I need to understand that the commission given to us on that day involves every person on this earth, from the most populated city on this earth to the most remote island there is to be found on this earth. The Lord says every creature needs to know this gospel. You go make disciples, and here's what you teach them. You teach them to observe everything, all authority, everything. He who has all authority, you teach them to observe everything that I've commanded you. And I'm with you to the end of the world. You and I need to understand that that commission that was given to those men who were assembled there that day, those individuals who were there that day, were told, now when you teach others, you give them the same commandment I gave to you. So that second generation, when the apostles went out and they made disciples, and as they were in the process of making the disciples, they said, here is what he who has all authority wants you to do. Carry the gospel to every creature on earth. And when you carry the gospel, second generation, third generation, to every creature on earth, you teach that third and fourth generation, he who has all authority wants you to go and carry the gospel to every creature. And I don't know how many generations we are removed from that, but whatever that number of generations is that we are removed from that time, it is as though the Lord Jesus stood before us today, like he stood before those disciples, and he said, you go teach the gospel to every creature because I have all authority. And here's what I want you to do. Now when he had said this, he ascended up into heaven. Here's the imaginary part of it. When he arrived in heaven, the angel said, Lord, what happened while you were on this earth? And he said, I've died for the salvation of the world. That power that's in the blood that we sing about, that power that is in the blood that we've had communion with, I've shed my blood so that all men who know the Lord, do you know my Jesus? You make sure that all creation knows my Jesus. And so he says, I've given this commission to these men and I've left it up to them. You go tell the whole world about this. And the angels, when they heard this and this imaginary story, said, well, what happens if they fail? What if those apostles don't carry this plan? What if that third or fourth generation does not sense any emphasis at all in their lives about carrying the gospel to every creature? And emphasize the importance of that story. What if the people of the 21st century, what if they fail? What plan do you have for the world to hear the gospel? And Jesus said, I don't have any other plan. I want you to think about that. I don't have any other plan. If the Lord's church in this 21st century, if the Lord's church in all of the generations that transpired, if we let the Lord down, there is no other plan. And that's why Mission Sunday is so important. And that's why 11 years ago the elders made a decision that on the last Sunday of January that we would have a one-time contribution, and every dollar given on that day will be used for mission work. You and I need to understand that this has become so much a part of the work of this church that whereas 11 years ago we were doing $50,000 a year in mission work, that we're averaging almost 2.5 times that amount of mission work because our elders stood and said to this church, if we're going to continue to do what we're going to do, then we're going to have that $50,000 on that one Sunday in order to do it. And when on that Sunday this church gave $125,000, 2.5 times, one of the elders remarked and said, we don't know the heart of this church. And we are at that place again. When we have arrived at the time when next Sunday every dollar that is given will be involved in mission work, and the elders are saying to us again, here's what we have committed to do. Here's the base work that we plan to do this next year. And in order to do that, we've got to have X number of dollars. But there's so much more that we can do. And that's the gist of today's lesson. To talk about what we have committed ourselves to do. To those men who are living in foreign lands. To those individuals who are serving the Lord in those foreign lands, to whom the elders have already, knowing the heart of this congregation, have already made a commitment to them. We have that base commitment. But this very day, in the latter part of this lesson, this eldership is challenging us in a way like perhaps we've never ever been challenged before. To understand the world is lost, and there is no other plan. Let's look first at the base number of this plan, the pyramid, the building, the foundation of what we're trying to do. In order to do what the Lord, what we have made commitments to missionaries to do, this next Sunday we must have $64,000 as our base commitment. There are those individuals to whom and works to whom we have made a commitment. And this is the very base of that commitment. And the elders have faith in us. They have faith in what we'll be able to do because we've shown over the years that we'll respond. You see, there is that work that is being done by Nana Afforji in Nigeria. And this is the 20th year that we've been a part of supporting that work that's there. The name D. Manwaring will mean almost nothing to present members of this congregation, but he was involved in a Bible correspondence course, and as a result of this, he came to the elders and said, here are some men, and he and Nana Afforji and Tamuka, he said, here are some men, they're doing the work. And so because of the encouragement of D and the investigation the elders were able to do of this work, for example, In the work in Nigeria, our own missionary that has been down in Paraguay first went to Nigeria, and he's met this man. He knows this work that's being done there. And our elders are so convinced about the work that's being done in Nigeria. What's happening in Nigeria? Shall we talk about the Muslim attack to overtake that country? Shall we talk about those 300 young girls that were taken captive by the Muslim? And some of that number, members of the Lord's church, is there a place on earth that needs the gospel more than Nigeria? I have no other plan. than for the church of the 21st century to carry the gospel to them. And I wish that you could sense the excitement there is from just being able to read Tomuka's report, the work that he's done, establishing three different congregations and every Sunday, going to three different places and doing a great, great work that is being done there in Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe, formerly a communist country ruled by a dictator, where sometimes in the past and even now the church is suffering. Those missionaries who were there were endangered by the very fact that they were there trying to preach the gospel. They're laying their lives. They're giving their all to the Lord. And we sit in comfort, air-conditioned buildings, wonderful, nice automobiles, stomachs that are filled. And the Lord says, I don't have any other plan. We've known Scott Shanahan for more years than we have supported him. But Scott Shanahan is one of our three missionaries out in the South Pacific. And what an amazing work that he has been able to do. Dan McLeod, you've been there. You know the kinds of things that are happening there in that work. And then more especially with some of the other work that's in the Pacific. Scott comes here regularly on a basis. And how thrilled we are every time we see Scott arrive. Scott, in so many respects, reminds me of young Robert Martin, whom we also support. I knew Robert back when he was Scott's age. And when I look at Scott, I see another person that just has so much of Robert Martin within him. But there's not only the work that he's doing in the Pacific, but what about the work that Joey Treat is doing? How thrilled we are that since 2004 we've been a part of being involved for 10 years in that work that Joey is doing out in the Pacific. And I look on the screen and perhaps you'll see the fact that in that place there is the television station that he has established there. There are only three television stations in all of the islands that are there. And 24/7, the Lord's church is broadcasting there because of our missionary in the Pacific, Joey Treat. Is that thrilling? And to hear the reports that he gives and see the reports that he sends back, how thankful we ought to be that there is a Nana and there is a Tomuka and there is a Scott and there is a Joey. And what about Robert Martin? We've been associated with the work that Robert has been doing in the South Pacific since 1989. And he's a part of doing that work that's all over the Pacific. He's a focal point of that work. The Lord's Church started in the Fiji Islands in 1962. Robert Martin was there in the late 60s. And was involved in that work. And at that time, you could talk about the Lord's church being on just perhaps one handful of the 22 island nations that are there. And now, thanks to the influence of Robert Martin and God working through him, the Lord's church is on 20 of the 22 islands of the South Pacific. And how thankful we are that we have Robert as a part of this work, and when he comes back, the church responds here in so many ways and so responds so wonderfully to that. And then, 2 years ago, we started part of the starting of a work down in Coral Springs when Mauricio Yegres became a missionary that we were supporting there to help start that work that's down in that area. You and I need to understand, if we hear the name Yegros, that's the name that comes out of Paraguay, where we've been so heavily involved. Here's the son of a man who perhaps will be one of the first elders down in the church in Paraguay, and he's now in this land and is helping establish a Hispanic work down in Coral Springs. How thrilling it is to know that that kind of thing is happening. Then there is the work that we do with Apologetics Press. We've been associated in a very, very close way with Apologetics Press since 2004. And our elders regularly make visits to that place. And we've mentioned before in that lesson last Sunday that of the 206 nations on this earth, Apologetics Press is carrying the gospel, the defense of the gospel, to 175, 8 million hits per year on the Apologetics Press website and all of the tracts and booklets and the men who are there. And brethren, we are a part of that. And God has helped us so that we've been able in this year to increase the support that we're giving to Robert Martin and to increase the support that we're giving to Joey Treat and to increase the support that we're giving to Apologetics Press. And how thrilling we are that we have elders who say, this is what we believe in. This is what we're going to cause to happen. And we would to God that we could do even more than this. But I want to know we have an eldership leading this church that is devoted to the mindset of this congregation. This eldership knows that you believe that every creature on earth needs to hear the gospel, and we've got to get it to them. And then there are those senior high summer mission trips that we send, and young people, we'll be sending you again this year, many of you, to go and help the church in so many places. We're running almost out of time to talk about the base because we need to get higher on this pyramid and look at some of the other challenges. What about that Heart to Heart magazine? This year, six times this year, 8,000 homes around this building will receive this magazine. With those 50,000 copies of the Heart to Heart magazine, that means that we will have mailed out to Palm Beach County nearly 1 million tracts called Heart to Heart, House to House. Palm Beach County needs the gospel. And a part of our mission work that begins the moment we walk outside of this building is to carry the gospel to every creature under heaven. If we have that beginning pyramid, if we have 64,000, we'll be able to do that much. What if we have 77,000 next Sunday? If we have $77,000 given, we will be able to be supportive of special requests that come for mission help throughout the year, because this congregation is known to be involved in mission work. There's request after request that comes to this congregation. Would to God that our elders could respond to every one of them. We're not able to do it, but we're able to respond the best that we can because of the contributions that are made. And so there are those special requests. There are those young people who go off to our Christian colleges and then say, I want to go on a Bible campaign. There are other times that people say, I'm involved in campaign, special short-term campaigns. Can you help me go? And while we do not enumerate all the nations that we go to in relationship to these special requests, it is remarkable. And then because we had that Hispanic work here in this building for several years, and because of the nature of that work with most of those individuals, members of the church, and our outreach being down in Lake Worth and transportation problems, there is now that very same congregation that's down there in Lake Worth. We're very much a part of what's happening there, and Douglas Alvarenga is working part-time with them. And so we are involved in supporting Douglas to ensure that work that is learning to stand on its own. Douglas is not doing all the preaching that's there. We're trying to build a congregation where the men of that church will stand and be able to do the Lord's work. And if we're able to have $77,000, then this next year we will continue that work that is to be done in that place. If we have $93,000 this next year, we will begin to involved even more so in that work. And how on earth did I leave out our missionaries that are already there in Paraguay? We will be able to continue the work that is being done down in Paraguay. I totally left Troy Spradling out of that work. Can we go back to that slide? I don't know if you'll be able to get back to that slide about Troy. How could I have overlooked Troy? Is he still there? All right. Troy is involved in that work in Paraguay. The work in Paraguay, from this congregation, what, close to 15 years ago, Chris Fry, who grew up in this very congregation, went to Fried Hardeman and became a part of a mission team that went down to Paraguay to the Sacramento and established the Sacramento Avenue congregation that is there. Now, thrilling that is to be able to see the work that they're doing, and it's so great to have Troy's wife, Andrea, with us today. To be able just to have that very kind of an association with her and to be able to hear again all of the things that happened. There are regular things that are happening. Now then, in addition to the work that we have been doing, and we are continuing that support of Troy. He's still our missionary down in Paraguay. I'm sorry I left that out of the base. He's a part of that first number. But what we want to do this year is to be a part of a thing that is happening down there, and that is the Ascension Bible Academy, which is somewhat like a preacher training school that has begun. And if we can have $93,000 next Sunday, this congregation will fully support one of those students to go through that 2-year program to learn the Bible. You and I need to understand what's happening. That great work that is happening down there in that academy, there are 3 individuals who will graduate, and there's a possibility that with the second class coming in, after the first class having finished the 2 years, with that second class that's coming in, there may be 9 students that'll be a part of that class, and one of those students will be ours. And what that means is that when that individual graduates from that school, he'll be able to continue his secular job, but he'll be doing a mission work. He'll be our missionary there because we were a part of the very training of him. We're so much involved in the things that's happening down there in that school that when Troy comes back and talks about that school and shows those photos of those individuals sitting hours and hours every week inside Bible classes and then getting the practical aspect of going out and doing personal work so that when they graduate from that school, they are fully, fully qualified to be able to serve the Lord in so many capacities. And we need $93,000. And if we have $93,000, in addition to that, the place that we have described as the uttermost part of the earth, Easter Islands, 2,000 miles away from South America, go down to Chile, and if you're coming from the north and turn right and go 2,000 miles, and if your navigation's good enough, you'll be able to find Easter Island. Are you aware that because of the work that was done in the Easter Islands by Josh and by Robert Martin and Josh, our missionary there, who's now part of this congregation, the Lord's church exists in the Easter Island. 5,000 people, some 53 square miles, an island that is out there, and now there is Piki and Uri that are part of the Lord's church. And guess what? We're not going to abandon those individuals. And so plans are this year for Josh to make 2 trips to go back and to cause the Lord's church to be built and to be grounded in the faith and to lead, to be able to be involved in the teaching of others and the growth of others in their spirituality. You'll be witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And who would have ever dreamed 11 years ago when this eldership said this congregation is going to be involved in mission work that you and I, through our missionary that was there in Paraguay, we would be involved in getting the gospel to the most remote place on this earth. I don't know about you, But I'm going to do all that I can to ensure that we reach that $93,500 mark next week. Now here's the real challenge. At $123,000, we will be able to subsidize the adults who go on this mission trip back to Paraguay. Phil Porter, one of our elders who's bilingual, and Josh, who's a part of that work in Paraguay and has spent 5 years, he's planning to lead a mission team from this congregation. But we're not simply going to totally fund everybody's trip. We think that everybody ought to make personal sacrifices. And we want to be a part of taking groups from this very congregation, a small group, to carry them down to Paraguay so that those of us of this congregation will be able. Many of our members have already been down into that land, and we want to go back. But it takes money to go back. Now, here's the most exciting thing that I'm aware of, and that is to try to get this congregation in the 21st century in relationship to videoing, in relationship to broadcasting on the internet, in relationship to all of the DVDs that we are making. You and I need to have an understanding that we have been using old technology, that when we started it, when we built this building, 16, 17 years ago, the kind of technology that we was using was pretty good. But the world has changed. And technologically, we're living in the past. With the capabilities that we have here, you and I need to understand that technology has run away from us. And have you noticed the difference in the televisions that you have in your house? Some of you will remember black and white television. In fact, one of our grandkids came in and the Lucy show was on, and they came to get Judy and says, "Come fix the TV. There's no color in it." You don't have black and white television. You wouldn't spend your time looking at it, would it? You remember the television that you had that had the big long tube in the back, and it had to sit out some 18 inches, 2 feet sometimes from the wall? And you may still have that, but have you been to Walmart? Have you stood down Walmart and all of a sudden here is a TV that is down there that you think, "I just wish I could have one of those"? Now, if your television is sitting back against the wall, there's no way on earth you'd go and say, "I want that big tube back in here." Why? Because there is now available, and it is what is a part of the 21st century, called HD television. But it's not just on the TV screen. I don't know if you'll be able to visualize it here on the TV screen. If you'll look down at over here on the left side, on my right side, that's the quality of the picture that we have compared to the quality of the picture that if it is HD TV. Can you see any difference? Well, yeah, immediately. First of all, I noticed the shape of it. Yes. And if you've got HD television in your house, it's not just that little almost square box that was rectangular box. All of a sudden, the dimensions of it have changed. You know why? It has to do with the number of dots that are there available to make the crispness of all of the pictures that are there. Now, we're just not talking about television. We're talking about iPhones. You want to look on an iPhone? You look on an iPhone go ahead to the next slide. Either one of those. That's Dan Winkler that's preaching. Look at the top screen and look at the bottom screen to see the difference. If we use the technology that is there, you and I need to understand the difference. Could you back up one slide and look at the other? Well, you see it here on this one. You see on the outside dimensions of that top picture? You see how much picture is not there? You see, if you take your iPhone and you watch our television, you take your laptop, you take that and you look at it, all of a sudden there's, on either side, there's a third of the picture missing, a total of a third of it. But the new technology allows there to be great, great qualities of picture. Now let me show you what all it impacts. It impacts the quality of the signal that we're broadcasting live right now from this building. If we can get into the 21st century, we'll be able to broadcast in HD quality. Now, those of us who are older may not really worry about HD. Those of you in your 20s and 30s and 40s, I want you to know that generation would not go back to the kind of quality of pictures that we're broadcasting right now any more than you'd go back to black and white color television. Here's the option. I've got an option of looking at something that has high definition, or I can look at a picture that by comparison is wonderful and good, provided you've never seen HD. But once I go to Walmart and I see what a real television picture looks like, and in this day and age, we need to understand what's happening, and that is this church must get into the 21st century. Think about the DVDs we produce, the sermon about instrumental music from about 3 weeks ago, that in the first week of it being available on the internet, 2,600 people looked at that sermon. You know what quality they saw? They did not see HD quality. You know what that means? I can't preach any better than I did that Sunday. That may be bad news to you. That's probably as impactful a sermon as I've had. 10 years from now, nobody won't even look at it. Why? Because the quality has gone from just, 300 to 600 pixels per inch, I hope I'm saying that right, to 1,060 DPIs. Look at it. Buzz mentioned the fact that now there are your 1,060 pixels will soon demand 2,120 pixels. Where are we? Oh, we're broadcasting it at 300. What I'm trying to say is that the sermons that are preached here, not mine, but these great sermons we have during lectureships and the great sermons that we have when we bring in special speakers, we need to have those in such a format that 20, 30 years from now, people will say, I really want to see that. But we cannot do it unless we can be, as a congregation, we're able to come up and to increase, to use an expression, the resolution of the picture that is on the screen, on your laptop, on your smartphones, on your television. We've got to get into the 21st century. Here's a challenge from our elders. At least 123,000. If we get above 123,000, there are tons of things that need to be done. Every year we've tried to put money aside for the sign, but you'd be amazed as we sit and discuss about what do we need to do of the fact we had $170,000, $180,000, $200,000. The work is there to be done. And so our elders are challenging us. I beg of you to think about how much God has blessed you. When you watch your television, when you drive your car, whenever you walk, go to the house or the apartment, wherever you live, I want you to look around you. And I want you to see those brethren that we're responsible for in Nigeria and Zimbabwe. for those lonely people that are down there in the Easter Islands that have never worshiped in the Lord's church with more than four people. I want you to think about how blessed we are. And then I want you to see what we give next Sunday is an investment, not to bring glory and honor to us, but an investment to bring glory to God. Let me ask you this. You think we can do it? Do you think we can do it? With God, we can. God help us to respond to the challenge to evangelize the world and to respond to the challenge the elders have put before us. Every dollar given next Sunday will be for that. Will you pray about this? God help me. I'm getting old. I'm going to die. All of us are there. And it may be those of you who are older. You may want to have a look at your savings. Leave it for your kids and let them fight over it. Or give it to God. Those of you to whom God has opened the windows of heaven. Those young adults to whom God has opened the windows of heaven and blessed you remarkably, do you not understand that to whom much is given, much is required? But don't give it grudgingly or of necessity. But because Christ died and there's power in the blood, and I believe it with all of my heart, then let's give sacrificially. With God, we can. Before we leave today, we want to sing a song of invitation to encourage individuals to obey the gospel. The purpose of Mission Sunday is to get the gospel to the world, but the purpose of the gospel is to save souls. And the question is your soul saved? You need to believe in Him. That's what John 8:24 says. You need to repent of your sins. Acts 2:38 says to have the remission of sins, you must repent. You must confess your faith in Jesus, Romans 10:9, and you must be baptized. For the he that shall be saved is the he who believes and is baptized. If you haven't done that, you need to respond to the invitation of Jesus. You can be baptized this very day. And then to those of us who've done it, he says, you be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. How can this church help you go to heaven? Won't you let it be known by coming to the front right now as together we stand and sing. Will you come?